1 Corinthians chapter 13 is where we're going to go, and I'm going to zero in on a particular verse. I would like you to turn to each other and say, the more perfect way. The more perfect way. Now look at each other and say, you've got the more perfect way. As we taught about the gifts of the Spirit, and we spent 18 weeks speaking of the gifts of the Spirit and the office gifts and the ministry gifts of the Spirit, you'll find those online at gracechristiancenter.us. But we put in context 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is sandwiched between, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Duh. Which is gifts of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. I could have done new math and said it should have been behind 1 Corinthians 16. But there's a purposeful point to it being as a pivotal chapter between chapters 12 and 14. Because 12 and 14 are all about the gifts of the Spirit of the congregation. And if you recall what Paul was adjusting in the Corinthian believers, it was, you've got all these gifts of the Spirit flowing, you're up and running, you're doing something, but you're doing some stuff out of order. And you need to understand, here's how to conduct yourself in the public meeting with the gifts of the Spirit, tongues and interpretation, prophecy, etc. And here's how it's supposed to happen, and here's how the office gifts are. But especially, it's all to be done with the heart and spirit of 1 Corinthians 13, love. The gifts of the Spirit are a ministry of the love of God, where Jesus wants you to hear a word, see Him, hear a quickening, or be encouraged. He wants you, in the gifts of the Spirit, when they come out of the congregation, it's a loving expression of the Father's heart, so we see something of Him for us. Prophecy, we get a little glimpse of what God's trying to say to us this morning. He loves you. He wants you to rejoice. He's with you. All of those kinds of things. The Bible says it's for edification, exhortation, and comfort, the kind of ministry that normally takes care or takes place in the body setting. But it's all to be done in a spirit of love. We get what He wants to reveal about Himself when the gifts of the Spirit come. And this chapter tells us that someday there won't be a need for the gifts of the Spirit because we'll see Him completely. We get a little glimpse at times now, but someday, face to face. Let me see your eyes. How many want to see Jesus face to face? How many can tell me what it's going to be like exactly? Who knows? I want to see Him face to face. Now, there's your context for this verse where we're going to go, and you have it before you. I'm going to read it in five versions. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Would you please turn and look at verse 12? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. For now, in the King James verse, now we see through a glass, darkly. How do we see through that glass? Darkly, dim. I don't get it all. I can't see it all. I don't understand it all. I ever try to take a look through one-way glass? And the ones inside the one-way glass can see out, but you can't see in? Ever try? Anybody ever been in trouble at a police station looking the other way? No, don't. That's right. No true confession. All right, but now through a glass, darkly, but then. Say the phrase with me, please. Face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. All right? We'll see it again now through the New King James. For now we see in a what?
Mirror.
It was a glass, darkly. Now we see through a mirror, dimly. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Out of the Message, or out of the NASB instead. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Next version, Message. we don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog. Very descriptive. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears. The sun shines bright. Boy, that's really pertinent for around here, isn't it? Just about our whole summer seemed like that. About 1 or 2 o'clock, we could see through the fog. Isn't that what life is like sometimes? Come on, isn't that what life's like? What are you seeing? Fog. But it won't be long before the weather clears, the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly, just as He knows us. And one more, I believe. The New Living. Now, we see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror. Ever taken a shower? I better see some hands. That's why. Okay, never mind. Anyway, so ever get fog on the mirror or condensation on the mirror? You can't see very clearly. We see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Now let me talk to you about a little history. One of the things Corinth was known for was for its bronze mirrors. And so Paul was speaking to a people who could tune in completely and very quickly to what he was saying here. Corinthians and Corinth was known around the world at this time for its very special polished and bronze mirrors. The perfection and the imperfection were likened to contrasting images by looking into a bronze mirror from different angles, and you just can't quite get a true glimpse of what you look like. How about ever been to those carnivals where the mirrors are all distorted and you hope that's not what you look like? Or how about in a pond? Ever looked down in a pond and you look and see your face and before you fall in? But there's that kind of concept. You just can't quite get it. How about ladies? It used to be before you had lighted mirrors on your little sun visor, you had to kind of apply makeup in the dark and you had to use something and it wasn't always easy. Ladies, you're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. I better not see any guys' hands to them. Paul said that these images were in contrast. The one's not so clear, but someday, very clear. All right, I want to do a little test here. I don't want you to do this. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Then I'll tell you what I don't want you to do. Do not look at what you're wearing. With your eyes closed, turn to your neighbor and say what color your top or blouse or shirt is this morning. Now open your eyes and see if it's true. Did anybody not get it right? Anybody not know? Okay, that's a pretty easy. It would have been an easier illustration had we guys been wearing ties this morning and I'd said, okay, what kind of tie are you wearing? I have no idea. Because it's easy to get ready in the mirror and walk away and even forget what you're wearing. Oh, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. Hasn't anybody ever experienced that? All right, a few of you honest people. You just prefer to laugh at me right now, I see. In that day, even the best mirrors had an imperfect reflection. They couldn't really see well, even with the world-renowned Corinthian bronze mirrors. Do you know that what you have, who you have inside of you, do you know that with what Jesus has put inside of you from Him, with Himself, the Holy Spirit, what you have is better than what Moses had? Come on. Do you know that what you have inside is better than what Moses had? We talk about Moses. We talk about him seeing God, and we talk about him, you know, with the little stick, the staff that becomes a snake, and all the miracles he did. But remember what happened to Moses? What happened? He went up into the mount, and when he came down, what happened to him? His face was glowing. He was nuked by God. But what happened? What happened? Who remembers? It what, Bill? It started to fade. And so, therefore, what did he do? He put a veil on his face. Why? So the people couldn't see the glory fade. Do you know, as a New Testament Christian filled with the Spirit of God, you have the glory of God inside of you, and we are changed, the Bible says, from glory to glory, and you become more like Jesus every day. It lifted, the Spirit lifted from Moses, but with you, the Holy Spirit is inside, and you glow more like Him every day. Look at each other and say, what you got is better than what Moses had. Look at each other and say, you're glowing. Go ahead, look at each other. Or maybe look at each other and say, you better glow. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, we all with unveiled face beholding as in a, what? Mirror. The glory of the Lord are being what? Transformed into that same image from what? Glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now the word changed is the word in the New King James, transformed. And it literally is the word metamorpho. Metamorpho. Say that with me. Metamorpho. Just because it's fun to say it. Metamorpho. Metamorphooey on youy. Okay, that's not in the Greek. Literally means to transform, to metamorphos, to transfigure, to transform. The Spirit of God is working inside of us, literally transforming us from glory to glory, from experience to experience, from changed process with the Lord to the next changed process with the Lord, and we glow more brightly for Him and become more like Him with every passing day. So Moses had a glory that lifted, and you have a glory that remains because the Spirit of the Lord is inside of you. What you have is better than Moses. The glory that was evident on Moses' face was a diminishing radiance. How many want the full radiance of God to glow brightly for the Lord? A believer's glory is eternal. I'll bet you Marilyn's awfully bright right now. The light and glory of God. What a powerful thing. We see poorly now. We see dimly now. I can't fully see Jesus now. You've all heard the story, haven't you, of the little girl who was just driving her dad crazy on the train, and she kept talking and bugging him, and he was trying to read, and so finally he took this map of the United States and he tore it into a whole bunch of pieces. He says, now look, he says, you go and you just take the time, and when you get this map all put back together again, then you come back and see me. So she says, okay. So she went away and quit bugging him. But about 10 minutes later at the most, she trots herself right back to him. And he looked at her. He goes, are you done? She says, yeah, here it is. He goes, how did you get that done so quickly? She says, because on the back side of this is a picture of Jesus. And as soon as we got Jesus put back together again, I could see the map clearly. We see in part. But as soon as we see Jesus, we glow with His countenance more brightly. We're transformed more like Him than ever before. Powerful. The NIV says, from glory to glory, is stated this way, God's ever-increasing glory. While we are still growing and maturing, and our knowledge is partial, it's not complete, the Lord keeps transforming us and keeps working with us and keeps working with us. And in context, Paul's saying, so Corinthians, don't be so proud of your gifts. It's going to be more complete someday as the presence of God flows through you completely. Right now, a picture, a part. But it will be face to face. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm not going to speak for a long time this morning. Glad I didn't get an ovation on that. But I think there are some points that are important for us. I'd like you to say this next phrase with me. In Christ, death has no victory. In Christ, death has no victory. Now all together, in Christ, death has no victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verses 51 through 58. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Please read it out loud with me. God bless you. Death is swallowed up in victory. Say it one more time. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Say it with me. Really boom it out. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Marilyn worked for decades as an educator, and I'm sure as you all feel in the things that you've done for the Lord, sometimes you wonder, does God really see? Did it really make a difference? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But let's take a look at a few of these words. You are changed. The word changed is the Greek word alasso. Say it with me, please. Alasso. It means to make you different. You are made different. In the twinkling, and the Greek word for twinkling is repay. So you want to repay, you twinkle. Twinkling, repay. And it literally means jerk of the eye. You know how your eye sometimes jerks, or when you change your vision or change your location, your eye just jerks in a moment, in the jerk of an eye, or in an instant. And listen carefully. The word eye literally means vision. In the instant that your vision changes, your life is transformed. Get that with me. In the instant your vision changes, your life is transformed. When you get revelation, when you see Jesus, when you see what He wants, and when you see what He's doing, your life is literally transformed. How many gave your life to Jesus and had your life change when it happened? If your life didn't change, you got to question whether or not it was real. How many have had times where God has revealed Himself to you and you're changed in a moment? Because when He's your vision, we've been singing the song lately, lift your vision higher. Higher than it's ever been before. When your vision changes, your life is transformed. Listen to the Greek. Death, where is your sting? And the Greek transliteration of sting is kentron. And it means to prick, a point, a sting, poison, a goad, a prick, a sting. Where's the poison from you, death? Where's your poison? And it says, death in the grave is swallowed up in what? Come on, boom it out. What is it? And the word victory, how many have heard of Nike tennis shoes? In the Greek, the word Nike comes from to conquer. That's where they got their name, from the Greek. To conquer, to have victory. Grave, where is your conquering victory? Nikos or Nike, where's your conquest? Where is your triumph, O grave? Where is your sting of poison, O death? Death, where's your conquest? Where's your triumph? You don't get to have the victory. When you belong to Jesus and when your life is His and death's door comes your way, you can look at it and say, you don't get the victory here. Because no matter what, I'm going to see Him face to face. I see in a mirror darkly right now. I may not get everything that's going on, but I get to see Him face to face. Death doesn't get the victory. And the Greek literally means death is swallowed up in victory. God literally gulps it all up. He gulps up defeat. He swallows it down. And He brings victory to your soul. Victory in Jesus as we are transformed, permanently changed in an instant of revelation because we see Jesus. What's the bottom line, you guys? Death doesn't get the bottom word or the last word. Say it with me. Death doesn't get the last word. Death doesn't control. Death is not the end. Death is a moment of transfiguration for the believer who loves the Lord. A moment of transfiguration, of transformation, of metamorphosis as we go from the moth to the butterfly, as we go from this body into the glory of the Lord where we see Him face to face, we are changed in His presence in an instant. You know, your ultimate retirement plan is pretty great. They can mess around with their pension on earth all they want and trust me, they are. And a lot of people can be frustrated. But church, as a believer, your retirement plan is the very best. Don't you think a lot of other people need to know about Him? From glory to glory, He's changing me. Jesus went to a cross. Died. They laid Him in a tomb. A few days later, a couple of His disciples were walking down the road and a man walks up to them. They're talking among themselves and he goes, what are you talking about? He goes, man, are you the only one around here who doesn't know what happened in Jerusalem? We thought the Messiah had come and boy, were we wrong. The Bible says He starts talking to them about the Scriptures. And He starts unveiling their eyes. Opening their eyes. And the moment revelation comes, when your vision changes and your vision opens and you see Him, you're changed in a moment. And they walk this road with Him. And the Scripture says, didn't our hearts begin to burst into flame? Didn't our hearts burn on fire as they come and they bring Him with them? And in communion, in a moment, their eyes are opened and He's gone. But their whole life is changed from that moment on. They saw Jesus. Church, you've got a more perfect way. Would you turn that on for me, please? Is it this one right there? You've got a more perfect way. Now, I want you to quote with me what the Bible says. I'm looking around and I think that most of you are saved here today. That was a little pastoral joke. Okay, if you're not, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, pause it for just one moment. If you haven't given, thank you. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. And I'd like you to say the scriptures with me, John 3:16-17. Here we go. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, verse 18 goes on to say, but if you don't believe, you're condemned already. So you need to surrender your life to Jesus. And I believe I'm looking at a room full of people who have done so. So therefore, this morning, as our sister Marilyn has gone on forward ahead of us into the presence of the Lord, she's rejoicing, and we too can rejoice in the hope of the presence of God. King David, when the baby died, said, the baby will not come back to me, but I will go see him. Someday, we will go and see Marilyn again. Someday, I'll see my wife. You probably have relatives that you'll see. How does it all work out? I don't know. All I know is we're going to be transformed in an instant. And we're going to see him face to face. You've got the more perfect heart. How many are happy this morning that Jesus is inside?